Our keynote speaker this morning is Commander Jim O'Keefe, graduated from the U.S. Naval Academy in 1972. He was a gunnery officer aboard the USS Charles Berry in the Republic of Vietnam in 1972 to 1974. He was a flight school helicopter pilot in 1975, search and rescue pilot in the Philippines, 1975 to 1977. Anti-Submarine Warfare Squadron, USS America, USS Enterprise, 1977 to 1980. Went to Naval War College in Newport, Rhode Island, 1980 to 1981. Was a helicopter instructor pilot, 1981 to 1983. Back to Anti-Submarine Warfare Squadron amongst the USS Ranger, 1983 to 1986. National Military Command Center, Joint Chiefs of Staff, Pentagon, 1986 to 1988. Nuclear Safety and Security Officer, Commander-in-Chief, Pacific Forces, Honolulu, 1988 to 1991. Was Commanding Officer, the Naval Recruiting District in New England, Boston, 1991 to 1994. He's a service-related disabled veteran, had two airplane crashes and a helicopter wreck at sea, which kind of makes me wonder about all that training. But anyhow, I'll give you Commander Jim O'Keefe.
Thanks, sir.
You bet. I'm sure that those crashes weren't your fault.
Oh, actually, I was driving.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they were my fault. Hi, you guys wanted to see if I was going to say something, didn't you? Well, thank you for inviting me to speak to you today, and thank all of you for coming to remember and honor the men and women who have gone before us, having done their duty as God showed it to them. That's what old commanders do. So when I told my mother I was going to speak here today, she said, "Oh, Jim, I've been to every single Memorial Day service since 1949 except one." She didn't tell me which one she missed. I know how much you like to talk, so please don't talk past 15 minutes or you'll lose them. So I swear, not time me if you want to. Iowans have always answered the call to duty from the earliest days of statehood. This state had the highest percentage of citizens per capita of any state in the Civil War and supplied 48 divisions of volunteers for the Union Army, to include 9 cavalry, 4 artillery, and 1 African-American division. I don't know if you understand, but the nominal number that goes into a division is 10,000 men, okay? Now, sometimes that number's lower, sometimes that's higher. But really, it's a huge number of people that came from this state that was just barely getting on its feet. I mean, by the way, I got to get one of those cannons because I just really need one of those. Usually, these men were from the same township, elected their officers, and paid for their own uniforms and equipment. Joseph and John Bursler were two of these volunteers from the Fort Madison Township. They signed up as privates and fought through the entire Civil War. At the end of 4 years, Joseph was a master sergeant, and John was still a private. You got to kind of wonder who could keep his mouth shut. John had his right ear shot off at the Battle of Atlanta, and as a reward was promoted to second lieutenant in the Union Army on June 7, 1865. Coincidentally, 107 years later, to the day, I graduated from Annapolis and was commissioned as an ensign in the Navy, which is the same as a second Louis. Mm-hmm. Oh, and the reason I know about these two particular gents is that Joseph was my 4-great-grandpa. And by the way, he was born on the 4th of July in 1832, just for fun. On May 12, 1962... General Douglas MacArthur addressed the cadets at the United States Military Academy, offering this description of the American fighting man. Their story is known to all of you. It is the story of the American man at arms. My estimate of him was formed in the battlefields many, many years ago and has never changed. I regarded him then, as I regard him now, as one of the world's noblest figures. Not only as one of the finest military characters, but also as one of the most stainless. His name and fame are the birthright of every American citizen. In his youth and strength, His love and loyalty, he gave all that mortality can give. He needs no eulogy from me or from any other man. He has written his own history and written it in red on his enemy's breast. General MacArthur continued, in 20 campaigns, on 100 battlefields, around 1,000 campfires, I have witnessed that enduring fortitude, that patriotic self-abnegation, and that invincible determination which have carved his statue in the hearts of his people. From one end of the world to the other, he has drained deep the chalice of courage. And as I listened to those songs in my memory's eye, I could see those staggering columns in World War I, bending under soggy packs on many a weary march, from dripping dusk to drizzling dawn, slugging ankle deep through mire of shell-pock roads, to form grimly for the attack, blue-lipped, covered with sludge and mud, chilled by rain and wind, driving home to their objective and for many to the judgment seat of God. I do not know the dignity of their birth, but I do know the glory of their death. They died unquestioning, uncomplaining, with faith in their hearts and on their lips the hope that we would go on to victory. Always for them, duty, honor, and country. Always their blood and sweat and tears as they saw the way and the light. I have to stop a little bit now because that speech always pulls me up short. My last job in the Navy was the commanding officer of a very large recruiting district. Don't believe all that crap you hear about American kids and that you see on the evening news. Kids from the farm are still volunteering and serving the same way our fathers and grandfathers did, with the same patriotism and selflessness. They are simply doing their duty as they see fit and don't need or want a public service campaign to brag on them. Thanks again for coming. God bless you all, and a round of applause for the band.